So this week the topic is truth. So I thought I'd bring to you some truth that you would find if you were reading labels. Labels on like packages. So on this package of peanuts that was put forth by Sainsbury, that's the name of the peanut, on the package it says may contain peanuts. I thought that's what I was buying, peanuts. On a camera, you know, in the back of the camera, they might put little things for you to understand and to know. On the back of a camera is written, this camera only works if there's film inside. There's more. By the way, when I Googled this in, it was page after page of unique and fun labels. Here's a third one. On the bottle of a flavored milk drink, you know, the kind that like you'd buy at Sheetz, it said this, after opening, keep upright. And the last one, my funnest one, on an iron. You know, an iron that you would, like, press your clothes with? This is Rowenta. That's the iron Rowenta. On the iron itself said, warning, never iron clothes on the body. Who would do that? So anyway, we're talking about truth. And we're talking about how we understand the truth. That's today's topic. But we've been looking at the Spirit of God since Pentecost. If you remember on Pentecost, that's the sending of the Spirit that Jesus promised. The Spirit came in a powerful way. And it didn't just come to seers and prophets. Seers are like someone who sees the future. It didn't come to them and prophets. It came to all human beings who believe in Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus promised, that the Holy Spirit would come to young and old, rich and poor, male, female, slave and free. That when you believed in Jesus, it wasn't your economic status, it wasn't anything else that got you the Spirit, it's belief in Jesus Christ, that's how the Spirit entered our lives. During this sermon series, we've looked at a variety of why we need the Spirit, or what difference does it make that Pentecost occurred. In this last session, we're going to look at the place of truth in our lives and how the Holy Spirit infuses us with truth so that we are able to function effectively in this world. At the interrogation of Jesus, remember this was after what I read in the scripture, Jesus gets arrested, and about 12 hours after Jesus told about the Spirit, Pilate's interrogating him. At that moment, Pilate asks a question. He asks, what is truth? As if he's seeking some ground on which to stand for this interrogation. He said, what is truth? As if he knows that for some people, they think it's an elusive, changing construct. Now, I want to tell you that in our society, there are some who move truth here and there. For instance, advertisers are built on this philosophy, that truth shifts. That as you are right now, you're not good enough. You know why? You don't smell good enough. You need to buy their product. Okay? You don't look good enough. You need to drink their beverage. You're not cool enough, so you need to have this adult beverage in hand or this thing, you know, smoke their cigarettes. That's what advertisers tell us. And if you look at them, it's shifting from society to society as to who we are. Now, the amazing thing about truth is that you'll never find it through advertisers, because they never tell us that as you are made right now, you're made special, that you were made in God's image and according to God's likeness. Because of the way God made you, it's unlike all the rest of the creation, that we human beings are made to reflect God's image. And we're how we act, we show who God is. And we're to look like God. That's the likeness aspect. That when we go out into the world with our love, in our joy, and our peace, and our hope, we're demonstrating all those qualities that God has infused in us through our genetic structure because we're made in image and according to the likeness. You'll never find that out there. Only the Holy Spirit tells you that kind of truth. So if you're asking the question, what is truth? You can go with generational truth that changes with years. You can go with the media cycle that changes with every cycle. And each era seeks out its own truth. So Pilate was right when he said, where's truth found? How can you find it? Do you go with the advertisers who tell you a version of truth so you'll buy their product? Do you go with the media outlets who wants you to stay tuned into them? Or do you go to a political party who wants your vote? What's truth? Washington Post a few years ago decided to ask this question, but they did it in a different format. And the format they did it in, they built it around the thought of in my day. I don't know if you've ever said that, in my day, all right? So they had a contest to see who had the best in my day quote. And here's the top three. So the second runner-up, which would be third place. In my day, we couldn't afford shoes, so we went barefoot. In the winter, we had to wrap our feet with barbed wire for traction. In my day. All right, the second runner-up, which is second place, said, in my day, we didn't have MTV or inline skates or any of that stuff. No, it was 45s and regular old metal-wheeled roller skates. And the 45s always skipped. So to get them to play right, you'd weigh the needle down with something like quarters, which we never had, because our allowances were too small. So we'd use our skate keys instead and end up forgetting that they were taped to the record player arm, so we couldn't adjust our skates, which really didn't matter because those crummy metal wheels would kill you if you hit a pebble anyway. Because in my day, roads had real pebbles on them, not like today. That was second place. First place goes like this. In my day, we didn't have no rocks. We had to go down to the creek and wash our clothes by beating them on our heads. In my day. Hey, that's a version of truth. Pilate could have asked each one of these, he could say, wait, what is really truth here? That's why we have to go beyond each generation that's seeking truth for themselves. Each generation tries to carve out truth as if the generations previous had no clue what they were talking about. So that each generation tries to carve out truth, seeking to find how we can live effectively in this world. Let me give you a guy who came up with his own version of truth. A man from North Carolina bought a case of rare, expensive cigars, and then he went and insured them with a local insurance company against fire. He took and smoked all those cigars individually, had a great time with them, and then he put in an insurance claim because they were all burned out. The insurance company took him to court, and the insurance company lost. So rather than go through a lengthy appeal process, the insurance company waited. The man got a check from the insurance company for insuring these cigars that got burned up in 24 individual fires. Okay? At the end of that, when the man cashed his check, the insurance company sent the police over and arrested him for 24 counts of arson. True story. Truth is stranger than fiction, right? It's crazy, but once again, we ask the question that Pilate asked, what's truth? Where do we put our feet so we're grounded? How do we know? And the problem is, your truth may be different than mine. Mine different than yours. And the problem with us saying, I know truth, I'm going to figure it out myself, is that we are so infused with self-interest. We human beings are filled with such pain that when we look out, that when we see truth, it's always coming through our own pain. That we sometimes want to protect ourselves or protect another person. That our experience is fallible because we only live in two time frames. We live in the past, and we live in the present. And we're hoping for the best for the future, but we do not know what the future may hold. All of us have this problem of being a limited version of what truth is all about, because it's filtered through us, and it goes out that way. So if we base our standard of truth on who we are, we're in trouble, because who we are is uniquely flawed. That's why the only place to go to find truth is God himself. Interestingly enough, God exists in not just the past. He was there and walked with you during those time frames. God's not just here with us in the present, and we know he is because it's spoken when two or more are gathered in his name. God is there. God's present. But God also exists in the future because God knows which behaviors that you carry from the past into the present that if you take off into the future will ultimately lead you away from eternity. God knows that because God's already in the future. And God sent prophets in order to inform us about those behaviors that will be self-destructive. God also knows that those behaviors we take from the past, that we're living in the present, that we take into the future, those behaviors that are good, he knows that ultimately they'll enhance our ability to move into eternity. In addition to this, realize God's the originator of all of this. At the beginning of Genesis 1:1, we find the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the deep. So when history is created, there's God. God is also at the end of all history. If you want to see what it looks like, read Revelation 21 and 22. What will it look like when God recreates life again? That's at the end of history. God's also in the intermediate, because God brings salvation to us and brings the Spirit to us in this present time frame. So because God is the originator and God's the completer and God's the sustainer, God has every right. It is his responsibility to declare to us what is truth. Because God knows all of our time frames and all of the time frames of all of human history. And the beauty of this, we don't have to intuit what truth is. We don't have to try and figure it out. You go to our whiteboard and we're working out what is truth, what's not truth. God's already told us. God has given us what truth is all about. And he's given us a truth that exists regardless of generation, regardless of time frame, regardless of what's going on culturally. He's given us a truth that transcends all of that, that we would call absolute truth. Interestingly enough, we all know this. We know this at the core of who we are. Because if you went out in the parking lot right now and you get your keys out and you go to find your car and it's missing because someone decided in their truth thought your car was theirs, you would automatically know there's absolute truth because stealing is wrong. You know that. You would call the police. You wouldn't say, oh, that person just has a different version of truth than me. It's okay. No, we all know that there are absolutes, that stealing is wrong. God not only put that, but he gave you 9 other thoughts that is wrong, such as don't lie, don't be sexually immoral, don't be greedy. You could call those the 10 commandments. I could run down through the rest of them. And the beauty of this is what Jesus told us would free us. We don't have to figure it out on our own. It's there right in front of us. It's right there in the Bible. We just have to accept it by acknowledging it. Whenever we accept it and acknowledge it, Jesus said we have a new state of reality that we're free. He put it this way, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We're free now because we're actually working with God, not against God. We're free now because we're on the path of righteousness that God has called us to be on. We're not wandering out into the weeds, wondering how did my life get to be such a mess? Because we went off the path. We decided to forge our own truth instead of following the truth of God. The amazing thing is whenever we follow the truth of God, not only are we aligned with God, there's no second guessing. That's what brings the hope. We just do what God's asked us to do. Yes, it may be hard, but nothing worthwhile is not gotten without it being hard. Yes, it may mean that we have to change our mindset, change our heart set, but the beauty of that is, means that we're now aligned with God, and we are truly free. You might be wondering, how? How is this possible? How can we do this? How can we get the Holy Spirit to move into us and infuse us with truth? Part of it is what you've just done today, which is you gather in the body that speaks about these things, which is the church. You take your individual private time and you read the Bible. Not read it because I've got 15 minutes and I'm going to be done. You read it to find the truth. When you're reading the Bible, ask for the giver of truth to bring you the truth. You ask the Holy Spirit to open your mind so that you can find the truth found in the Scripture. And then let's gather. Gather at the different places we talk about this. Bible study, which is Thursday night, Sunday school, which is right before this service, and then, of course, you do so through your individual study time. That's how we get the truth. Now, Jesus said, I'm giving you an advocate, one who will bring the truth into your midst so that you can live free. May we embrace it now and forever. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the ability to know that truth is there. We know it at the core of who we are. We know there are certain things that are not right, that they're wrong. There are certain things that certainly are right. Help us to embrace the thought that you've already put this for us. We don't have to find it on our own. We simply need, with the help of the Holy Spirit that Jesus sends, to be able to read it, to live it. Thank you for our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen.